All right, we're going to keep moving on. I got a few thoughts to share. We got all these sports videos this morning, so I got another one for you as well, if you want to start with that, Josh, and hopefully people got handouts. But
the man in this lineup has run 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. Holt, Gay, Powell, 4, 5, and 6. They're away. Terrific start by Daniel Bailey. Usain Bolt, though, getting into his running. Here he comes. Usain Bolt, challenged by Tyson Gay. Usain Bolt, 2 clear meters. Tyson Gay in second place. And in third place, Mustafa Powell.
9.58. Smashing the world record. Unbelievable. He's done it again. A year later, rewriting the world record again.
Let's look at Gay. Gay, Bolt got a good start, not quite as quick as some of the others in the race, but Steve, once he gets into his running, we've never seen the like.
No, you cannot understand what is going through the rest of the minds of the other sprinters. Tyson Gay is running a time that is absolutely sensational, and he's been dismissed, literally dismissed. He's still looking around at this speed as well. There may be even more in the tank for this man if he really pulls all the stops. Look at him. Where's Tyson? He's thinking, where is he?
And here is the photograph that will flash around the whole of the world. You'll see it everywhere. New world record, 9.58. And there is the great man, Usain Bolt.
Shoulders down. That's it.
Dying. I think a lot of people just, they see you run and they say, oh, it looks so easy. You really look effortless. But before it gets to that point, it's hard. It's like hard work. It's day in, day out, sacrifice. Day in, day out. Just dying. This time when you run and you just want to stop, you just want to give. This day when you get up and you know what, you have a training today. You know it's going to be intense and you're like, oh God, I don't want to go today, but you got to go. And it's so hard and a lot of people don't know.
We are not used to seeing you suffering.
That's why you guys are here. Show the true story, innit?
This here is the reality? Do you mean that the competition is not the reality?
Listen, the work is behind the scenes. Competition is the easy part. Behind the scenes is where the work is done. And everything is done to get to that one race that you need to run.
I think I saw him once training. How I felt it that day. He was vomiting and he looked stressed. And I really felt it and said, son, I didn't know you got to work so hard, because that was some hard training. So I prefer not to be there, because it's not easy to watch him train, because it's really tough.
You saying you all right?
Yeah, coach. Your conscience speaking. Don't do it. Stop running. Retire. Go play football. Go play golf.
All right. So I started adding subtitles and then decided it was too much work, so he's a little hard to understand in parts, but I want to talk about discipline. and the discipline, like self-discipline, what it means to be a disciplined person. And so you watch that first video, Usain Bolt winning the world record. It's like, man, that's cool. That looks kind of fun. Like, I would like to be in the Olympics. I think, all like, there's something really nice about that. And then you watch the second video. It's like, yeesh. He doesn't even like it. I mean, and then just kind of reading about this, learning about the amount of discipline it takes to even make it to the Olympics. Just the discipline of your time and your energy, your body, what you eat, how you sleep, the sacrifice it takes, and the amount that people give up things. And I was watching one of an Olympic wrestler, and it's his birthday, and he needs to make weight so he can have like one piece of cake, and then he's got to go home and go to bed early. It's like, just what it takes to have that kind of discipline to achieve the goals. And so I've been thinking a lot about discipline. It's been really a treat for me just to read a lot of things in the Bible about it, think about it. I hope that there's some blessings in it for you as well. And so I guess just the first thing is this just for the physical life, or does the spiritual life require discipline? In 1 Corinthians 9:24 it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. Do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So there is discipline that is necessary in the spiritual life as well as the physical. Let's pray and just dig into some of this. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for being at work within us and around us. And God, even as we read things, I ask that you would just kind of unpack them. I ask that you would open our hearts to hear what you would have. I ask that you would reveal things. I ask that you would teach us this morning. I ask that you would meet each one of us right where we're at, in the spot that we're at, and that you would take us forward, that you would grow us in you, that you would accomplish your work this morning. I ask that you would prepare each person for what you have for them this morning, for what you would have them speak to others and what you would have them hear. And we just invite you to be here and ask you to move in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, life does require discipline. It doesn't necessarily require the same discipline as an Olympic athlete, but it does. And there's so many different areas to be disciplined in. Our money and resources, our eating, our sleeping, our exercise, care for our body, our work ethic, our indulgences and pleasures, our thoughts, our heart, where we give our affection and love. There's so many areas. And with no discipline at all, nobody would have a job. Everybody would be completely broke. We would just get taken advantage of. We would fall apart. Just life requires a certain amount of discipline. Our time is an area that requires discipline. And so, sadly, we have responsibilities. I shouldn't say sadly. It's cool. It's part of life. We have responsibilities. Our time needs to go to certain areas, to work, to rest, to entertainment and playing, recreation, time with family, time with friends, time helping others, time alone. To learn to find the discipline of life, all these areas. Sometimes when I think about discipline, it's kind of overwhelming. So many areas to try to walk in discipline. Our time with God. Do we keep that? Do we guard that? Are we disciplined with that? And so, as I've been thinking through this, I see that it's a little different in the spiritual life. And so in Titus 3, starting in verse 1, Paul says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all men. So he's starting this chapter by saying some things that that believers should be like. They should be submissive. They should follow authorities. They shouldn't fight. They shouldn't argue. They should be gentle and have courtesy even towards people who are against them. And then he tells us why. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's the starting point for everyone. And then the good thing is in verse 4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, so as we see in here, what has happened is Jesus came as a Savior, and He gave His life, and He died, and He gave His life to save us. And we are not saved by any amount of our own righteousness. There's none of that. It was not because of our effort, because of how good we were. You cannot be good enough to reach God. But instead, through Jesus, He offers a new life, a regeneration. You become new. And in that, in Him, we are able to come to God. We are saved. We are at peace with Him, and we can live forever. And so, I'm not sure where you guys are at today. I came to Jesus about, it'll be 20 years in the fall. And I think 20 years ago, if I heard this, it would not have made a lot of sense. And so some of you are much further along in your journey with Christ, and some of you are just beginning. So I want to unpack this a little bit, but also just there's freedom to kind of like grow in this and understand it more and more. So here's a picture, and I think this picture, I haven't read the book, but a guy named Watchman Nee, he's a Chinese Christian from quite a while ago. He wrote a book called The Spiritual Man, and he talks a lot about who we are as people. And so this is kind of a simple drawing. And so it's trying to take a profound idea, these profound ideas that are like almost impossible to understand on our own, take a profound idea and put it into a picture, which is nice for me. I like the pictures. So we have a body, and this is what I get to see of all of you. You guys walk around in a body. And then we have a soul. And so our soul is like our personality. It includes our mind, our will, our emotions. It's kind of like yourself. And then we have a spirit. And the spirit is our innermost being. And so, as we look at this, the body has a world consciousness. It is aware of things that happen. It can see and sense and do all these things. And that's cool. We live in this world, and it's nice to be aware of what's going on. And then our soul is a self-consciousness. And we are able to see things about ourselves, to be aware of ourselves. To me, this is one of the most amazing things, that as a biological entity, we're not just biological. We have an awareness of ourself that we are. And we have personality, and we have desires and we have interests and we have all these pieces of ourself. And then our spirit has a God consciousness. It has a connection with God, an intuition, a communion with God. And so, our spirit is called our inner being, our body and soul, our outer being. And so there's just to throw out a few definitions, the flesh. Our flesh is like the sin of the body and the self of the soul. So as it was, Paul was saying in Titus, in this letter he wrote to Titus, we've been made new. And so the old person, this is who all of us are born as. As our original person, the spirit is dead. The spirit is disconnected from God and separate from God. Paul talks about this in Ephesians 2. How we were spiritually dead in our sins. And our life is found in the things of this world. Our life is found in our body and our soul. All right. How you guys doing? This is like pretty profound stuff, huh? At least I hope it's making sense. I've been chewing on this a long time, but. And then in Christ, as we come to Christ, in Christ we find forgiveness and newness, and the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within our spirits, and we become a brand new person. And our old person, our old flesh, our body and the sin of our soul becomes dead, becomes crucified with Christ, gets circumcised, gets cut off. And so now we are a new person. Okay, so as we're thinking about discipline, I think the discipline we usually think about is the discipline of the body and soul. I need to, with all of my intent, make these habits, make these patterns, do these things. But as we're going to see, the discipline of the new self for a person who has come to Christ is different. Because our effort, we acknowledge, is dead on its own. Our effort, we acknowledge, cannot reach God, cannot achieve the things that God has called for us. I don't know if anyone has ever really tried to make a huge change in your life on your own power. It is difficult. And for me, I set up all these new habits. Okay, what I'm going to do is for an hour a day, I'm going to do this. And for 15 minutes, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And I do it for about a week. And then this diet is horrible. And forget it. Kind of. There's definitely that amount of, like, the effort of our own self is so insufficient. And so we cannot achieve the Christian life by means of our own effort. What Christ offers us is not some self-help. It is not self-empowerment. Christ is not offering you, hey, let me help you actualize who you are. On yourself. But the Christian life is about Christ and His work in us. All right, so that I think this is a bunch of, some of this is kind of just heady stuff. And in my life, there was a time when I connected with what Christ had to offer me. I connected with my need for a Savior. I connected with my need to be able to get to God apart from myself. I connected with my need for forgiveness and change. And so I came to Christ and I asked Christ to be in my life. And Christ is in the process of transforming me and has made me new. And there's an invitation. There's an invitation for all of us to come and really seek Christ. And Jesus is there and available for each one of us. Do you want to try to rely on your own effort, or will you acknowledge your need and come and receive what Christ offers us? And for those that are in Christ, for those that have come to Jesus for that transformation, the call is still to walk in Christ and not on our own strength. This is a passage that I have thought about for many years and hunger for more in my life, and God is growing me in this by His grace. But in John 15:1-5, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I guess that's someone who takes care of vines. Okay. So, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that last phrase is extremely profound. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And in my own life, I feel like the greatest thing I can do on my own without Christ is make people think I'm a nice guy. That is the extent of my great spiritual work on my own strength. But from the power of Christ within us, we are able to do amazing things. And so this word abiding, I don't know, to me, I've unpacked it into two things. Abiding, to me, is being aware of the presence of God. Right now, as we sit here in this room, God is present. God is aware of every thought. He knows how bored some of you are. No, I'm just kidding. He knows. He is aware of our feelings. He's aware. God is present in every moment, in every part of our lives. In the joys, in the struggles, God is present. And abiding brings us into an awareness of His presence. Wow. As I go to work and feel like I need to do my work things, muster up my strength, God's presence is there. God is there. God's presence fills the universe, as well as in Christ, God's presence, God's Spirit is within me. And an awareness of His presence, and then a reliance on His power. To trust in His power, to trust in His ability to accomplish things, to trust in His ability to fight for me, to make things right on my behalf. When I got in a car accident last week, bumped into the back of somebody, and there was no damage, and we left happy, and then the insurance called 2 days ago, 2 days later, and said, there's an injury claim on your insurance. A reliance not in that I have to do something on my own, but that God will fight for me. We can trust in God's power. And in this case, the insurance company fighting for me too. So, but God has power. And God allows us to walk in His power. God is sufficient for the challenges in your life. God is sufficient for what you're going through and for where you're at. You can trust in Him. You can rely on Him. You can be aware of Him. You can abide in Him. So we do need effort in the Christian life. But our effort is to put ourselves in a spot so He can work. not so that we can accomplish great things, but so that He can accomplish great things in our lives. To let Him be our guide, our strength, our sufficiency, our boasting. I think of it kind of like, Mark's my analogy guy, but I think of it kind of, I think my cousin told me this actually. This is my phone charger. I think of it kind of like a phone charger. So what happens is, I have this spiffy cell phone, and it does all kinds of cool stuff. It even connects to the World Wide Web. And it's like, it can do calls and texts and amazing things, but I have to plug it in. And if I forget to plug it in, it's basically a really expensive paperweight. And there's some amount of we need to be connected to God. We need to abide in the power of the Holy Spirit. And without that on our own strength, we might be able to last a little bit, but we cannot. We cannot accomplish anything of great value in our lives on our own. Our efforts might seem pretty cool in this life, and then they dwindle away. And so the effort of taking our lives and staying connected, of staying abiding, of He's the branch. I'm sorry, He's the vine, I'm the branch. I'm connected to Him as the source of life. So there's all these spiritual disciplines. It's really good to read the Bible. It keeps you connected. It feeds the Spirit. It feeds your spirit and in communion with the Holy Spirit. To meditate on Scripture, to pray, to fast, to worship, to serve, to keep learning. And these disciplines are not of our outer person trying to accomplish great things, but of staying connected within our inner being so that His life can flow through us and out of us. So it's not about becoming stronger, but it's learning to surrender. It's relearning to rely and trust Him. It's learning to follow. It's learning to respond to His call. It's learning to walk with Him, unite with Him, enjoy Him, be connected with Him, and to live in His power. In Romans 12:1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. All right, so in one, Paul is saying, our act of worship is not to do these great things. Our act of worship is to offer ourselves and yield ourselves to His doing. And to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, to be used by Him. And not to be conformed to this world that says it's all about me and all about what I can do, but to be transformed as our minds are renewed and changed. And so, just one spiritual discipline I want to just kind of pass on is a discipline of this conscious effort of our thoughts, which we can also call meditation. And to grow in this discipline, this conscious effort of putting our mind in a spot that is under the control of God. I was introduced to and reading some and watched a couple videos about Navy SEAL training. And these guys are crazy. I mean, incredible. And they did studies on what it takes to become a Navy SEAL. And they were talking about just kind of four areas that anybody who passes the Navy SEAL training has. And it's not about learning to do more push-ups. It's about mental toughness. It's about learning how to take your mind and put your mind in a spot that gives you power. And so there's an incredible power in our minds. And there's a power in the spiritual life of putting our minds in a spot where we trust God. The guy I mentioned before, Watchman Nee, I really like this. He says, this is on the back of your handout too. It says, take this as the secret of Christ's life in you. His spirit, if you have come to Christ, his spirit dwells in your innermost spirit. Meditate on it, believe in it, and remember it until this glorious truth produces within you a holy fear and wonderment that the Holy Spirit indeed abides in you. I'm going to read it again just because I think, to me, that's the process of remembering these things. As we get bombarded with so many places to think about and so many things and fears and doubts and whatever, to put our minds in a spot of honest meditation before God. Take this as the secret of Christ's life in you. His spirit dwells in your innermost spirit. Meditate on it, believe in it, and remember it until this glorious truth produces within you a holy fear and wonderment that the Holy Spirit indeed abides in you. How incredible that we have been invited to take part in the divine life, in the divine nature of God. And not just see him from far, kind of try to figure him out, but to have the life of Christ within us by faith. To me, it's the most beautiful invitation in the world and the most beautiful reality for those that have tasted and walk in it. Outside of Christ, I am only a sinner, but in Christ, I am saved. Outside of Christ, I am empty. In Christ, I am full. Outside of Christ, I am weak. In Christ, I am strong. Outside of Christ, I cannot. In Christ, I am more than able. Outside of Christ, I have been defeated. In Christ, I am already victorious. How meaningful are the words in Christ? In Christ, all things are possible. In Christ, there is no death. In Christ, there is life, eternal life. In Christ, there is power. In Christ, there is power over fear. There is power over death. There is power over our enemies. In Christ, there is power. In Christ within us, there is power to live this life that we were intended to live. In Christ, in his blood, it was offered to all of us, poured out and given to those who would believe. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you gave us your Son. Thank you for his sacrifice to make us new. Thank you for the transforming work of him, of you, Christ, on the cross. Thank you for making us new. Thank you for granting us faith. Thank you for granting us new life in the Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comforts us and guides us and teaches us. Thank you for him. Thank you, God, for giving us of your life that we could experience and taste you and walk and not just have these ideas that make cool drawings, but experience you. God, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would continue to transform lives all over the city, that we would walk in you by your grace, by your power. Thank you, Christ, for being in our lives. In your name, Jesus. Amen.